Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. What a wonderful privilege it is to spend this time with you talking about who God is. We thank the Lord for giving us His Word and the eagerness with which we go to the Bible each and every day. Truly, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible demands to be studied, and as we come to the text again this day, we do so on a topic of much interest to our discussion of predestination. We want to know if double predestination is biblical. Well, first, we better define what we mean by double predestination. Predestination has two sides to it. That makes it double. And on the one side is salvation. On the other side is damnation. God predestines only some people to be saved. This is obvious. Not everyone is a Christian. Only some people are saved from their sin by faith alone in Christ alone. So what about the others? What about non-Christians? Does the Bible mean to say God predestined everyone who is not saved to be unsaved? God intentionally intervenes and creates belief or faith in the lives of His people whom He has chosen. We learned all about that. Likewise, on the other side, does God also intentionally intervene and create unbelief or lack of faith in the lives of people whom God has not chosen? Does God create in their hearts evil so that they will not be saved? These are the questions before us on the topic of double predestination. I hope this helps you to see what I mean by the term double predestination. And if the analogy of a coin helps you, use it. There are two sides to each coin. We have studied the one side, and now we turn the coin over and study the other side. In Romans chapter 9, we have the illustrations or the case studies we talked about yesterday, and I will come back to those. But there is truth that must be said, and it must be said firmly and clearly. Are you ready for this? God never intentionally intervenes and creates unbelief or lack of faith in the lives of anyone. God never creates evil in anyone's hearts so that they will not be saved. I want to make certain we understand this up front and all the way through this next phase of our conversation. And I want to share with you a text from the Bible to prove this important point before we apply this to double predestination. I was thinking, is there one verse that teaches with succinct clarity that it is impossible for God to intervene in the heart and will of a person so as to plant unbelief, sin, and evil there? And in the providence and wisdom of God, I was led to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 John 3 verse 9 reads, "No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." What this verse shows us is that God and sin, and God and evil do not mix. They never go together. Sin is totally incompatible with God. So let's take this verse phrase by phrase. John begins, "No one who is born of God." Here the apostle is speaking of the spiritual new birth. This is what Jesus calls being born again. In John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord says to Nicodemus, "Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again." Being born of God, which John mentions twice in this one verse, well, that by itself must be noted. Twice John says, born of God. Being born of God describes how everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is made new. We are new creatures in Christ. Let me read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Christians are people who have been born of God, and therefore we are new creatures with new natures. This new nature that we have been given in the new birth by being born again means that we are now part of God's family. We have been adopted by God our Father into His family, and so we behave like sons and daughters of God. The habit of our life is now righteousness and no longer sin, because there is only righteousness in our adoptive Father, God. There is no sin in Him. Yes, Christians still sin, but sin is never the habit, the pattern of our lives. We cannot practice sin continually and without repentance. Our conscience will not let us because we are new creatures with new natures. Righteousness compels us to live like children of God. Another way to put it, the fruit of the Holy Spirit now grows in our lives. In 1 John 3, verse 9, John continues, "No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him." John means that God's seed abides in Christians. The image here is of the farmer planting seed in the soil of the earth. Our spiritual new birth means that God, as the farmer, plants his seed in us, the soil of our lives. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable." God's imperishable seed has been planted in the lives of every genuinely born-again Christian person. And the content of this seed is God's life now flowing through the believer. And significantly, the nature of God's life is not sin. It is not evil. It is the opposite. The nature of God's life is righteousness. It is good. And notice that word abides. John says his seed, meaning God's seed, abides in him, meaning the child of God. Abides. This is permanent. This cannot be reversed. The seed will not be ripped out of the soil of our lives. We live as permanent new creatures with permanent new natures in Christ. Therefore, John concludes, he cannot sin. Now, obviously, John does not mean it is possible for the Christian to never sin. What he addresses here is habitual sin, a theme that marks John's letter. Habitual, constant, ceaseless, interminable, incessant sin is incompatible with someone who is born of God, who has God's seed planted in them, because John ends this verse, quote, "because he is born of God." There is no sin. There is no evil in God. Therefore, anyone born of God, sin and evil has been removed from the ones born of God and has been replaced by God's seed, which is God's life of righteousness and holiness and purity. God is not the God of sin and evil, and therefore God does not intervene in anyone's life and plant sin and evil in that person's heart and soul and will. He does not. So that whatever is meant by double predestination, whatever we find when we flip the coin of predestination and look at this other side, whatever we see there, we do not find God intentionally creating unbelief or lack of faith in the lives of anyone. God never creates evil in anyone's hearts so that they will not be saved. He cannot, because it is not in keeping with his divine nature and character. To quote a powerful verse in James chapter 1 and verse 13, God cannot be tempted by evil, and God himself does not tempt anyone. There is no sin. There is no evil in God. As the Apostle John says, no one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. God is so devoid of sin that whoever is born of God, whoever has God's seed planted in them, cannot sin, cannot go on sinning, cannot be an habitual sinner. Does this make sense? Have you grasped the point? Well, I hope so, because we will come back to this again on Monday when we begin to discover what the other side of predestination does mean. I do believe in double predestination, but you really must come back on Monday to find out what I mean by that. Before I go, remember my announcement from last time? On Thursday evening, May 25th of this year, 2023, in a few weeks, at 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Standard Time, on Thursday evening, May 25th, I will be hosting a video call so that you and I can discuss God's foreknowledge and predestination together. If you would like to participate in this, even if this date and time does not work for you, if you have any interest whatsoever, email me this weekend. My email address is mark@godisministry.org. Let me know that you want to join this conversation on May 25th. mark@godisministry.org. And then join us again on Monday, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.